kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I just have my microphone, so I'm all by myself. Me and my cat, we're just hanging out.
Cat. Oh, I wish I could be with my cat.
My cat is because I have two.
For 3 weeks, there are two now.
Two of them? That's pretty good.
But the baby cat is just horrible. It just keeps... Yeah, it's just like evil, you know? I can't sleep anymore, and the other cat is just completely, like, what... In his eyes, I can see, "Mommy, why did you do that? Why did you bring my teeth home?"
How many scratches do you have on your arms from the kitten?
I got a lot, but it's my legs because the kitty is just, she likes to climb on jeans. But when you don't have your jeans off, she tries. It's just like, "Oh."
Oh, man.
Gabriel was the same way when we got him. He was just like, "Oh my God, legs," and up you go. And you just have blood running down your legs because he was a brutal little monster.
Exactly.
He's fine now.
Yeah, it's going to be better.
I love cats. Right,
the guys are watching me like, "Cats again. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you."
See, they could look at you weird, but I'm the idiot with eight cats, so I'm the real problem here.
Okay, so you're the weirdo. I'm just the cat mommy.
I am very much the weirdo.
I have chickens. I hoard chickens, not cats.
You have chickens. Oh, but David is just fond of birds. But they were.
Chickens are
just like tiny dinosaurs, aren't they?
Yes. We call them the dinos. When we're going to feed them, we go feed dinos.
Chicken's cool.
Like, all right. I don't even want to do an intro. I just want to keep all of this in the show.
Well, I can do that just like all the time, you know.
But I guess I'll do an official introduction anyway. So what's up, everyone? This is the SMO Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, Cole Martin. How are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking.
Which is a positive.
Maybe not kicking. I'm alive because I'm in a flare. And I can't even hold my arms up, but I'm okay.
It's okay. I believe in you. I believe that you can make it through this.
I'm going to live. And it's, at least we've got some laughs to live through. So
indeed, I'm sure this is going to be a pretty good episode. As you've already heard, we've got three guests joining us from Fishing Cactus: Sophie, David, Fabrice. How are you doing today?
Hello. Hey. We're doing great. We're exhausted, but doing great.
Why are you exhausted?
Because of the launch, of course, and just like I worked so much and lots of pressure, and yesterday I think that just my blood pressure goes so high that my vision was completely blurry.
Oh, no. So are you trying to tell us that you just launched a game?
Sorry?
Are you trying to tell us that you just launched a game?
Yeah, yesterday.
Ooh.
What game did you launch?
What kind of podcast is this? What kind of interview?
Shift Quantum, that sounds like a fantastic, interesting game. Why don't you tell us about the game?
Sure. And do you want to do it, guys? Or just like, they are just watching me like, "Just keep going, you're doing great, just do it yourself."
They're not here to actually talk, they're just here to watch you.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, that's exactly what they do, and they just nod to say, yeah. Yeah, so Shift Quantum is a puzzle platformer with a little bit of action that's just like jumping, not just like, I think that puzzle is just the important word in it. And it's very, very special. It's hard to explain because it has this very special mechanic that it's called shift. And when you shift, basically what happens is that the matter becomes air, and what was air becomes matter. I don't know, game designers. Can someone explain it? With real words.
It's much more easier to understand with a visual than to explain it by words. But yeah, the whole screen and the whole,
it with words.
The whole level is shifted and inverted at 180 degrees. And character, shifts through the matter.
But it's easy to understand when you see it, because the world is in black and white. So when you start, you're in the ground is black. All the blocks that define the levels are that make the level are black. And when you shift, the air so become blocks, and what was the blocks become air. But these new blocks are white. So you can understand when you are in the something like positive space and negative space. I know that the game designer, they don't like when I use that ID, but they're watching me just like, don't say negative and positive space.
So what do you guys prefer that you call it instead of positive and negative space?
I know it's actually, you have the negative space would be the like the opposite world. So each time you shift, there is no like normal on. The other world, both sides of the level are the same or equivalent. So you have the black and the white space.
That doesn't mean anything.
The white space is white and the black space is black.
That's racist.
We had equivalent. Okay. That's the same. But yeah, we struggled a lot during production to define that and to communicate with each other, because it's really complicated to talk about it. So you have to draw things and make drawings to explain what you mean.
When you did that, I remember David used to Fabrice is more just like the guy opening the level editor and creating levels, you know. But David, he likes to do it on paper.
Yeah, pen and paper.
But pen and paper, and I'm just like, how can you just like picture the negative and positive space just one with one color on paper?
Because it's the same. That's the same thing. Some levels were shifted at the very end, like what was white and black were inverted, because I liked it better in another way. So it's you can always change the black and the white, because it's really equivalent. You just have to flip the level.
And what you just turn your sheet to see.
Yeah, you turn the sheet of paper and that's done.
Yeah, because when you shift, you do not just enter the matter, but also the screen turns at 180
degrees. That just made so that your character is always the head up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The gravity stays in a logical way, so you can move your character and do the platforming bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier.
But that's not the only, that's the main mechanic of the game, but we also implemented new special blocks. We call that blocks, it's just gameplay element, like blocks that you can push or pull, and this box, with this box you can also create just like empty spaces to get rid of the level. You can also have wind blocks that blows you away. What else? We have spikes.
Spikes
are brutal.
Yes,
yeah, there's a lot of spikes.
I'm just like, oh my god, that's brutal.
Yeah, and other blocks we try to use the black and white mechanic always on the blocks. So you have near the end of the game, bit of spoiler, can give out this one. You have a digger, a block that you can push.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, that you can dig through the world. So the with a black digger, you would dig through the black blocks and make them white.
I really have a problem with that digger block, because I start to play and I see where the exit is and I'm just digging. And I'm just like, what are you doing? I'm digging. And then I'm just like, where is the exit again? Oh shit, I'm
that's a block you'll find near the end of the game, because yeah, it's very tricky. You can end up in a bad situation and having to reset the level.
So a bad situation with spikes, that's reminding me something.
Yeah, so that makes the levels more harder.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed playing with the digger block. I didn't get that far in the main game, but in the custom levels, I've been having a lot of fun playing the custom levels. And that's a fun block to mess around with.
Did you create custom levels?
I did create one. I'm not huge on creating things. I prefer more to play what other people create, but I did try to make my own. It's the one that vaguely looks like the letters SML because I'm that guy.
I saw it. And they uploaded mine because when you submit a level, there's a human process behind it. So someone here at Fishing Cactus will have to approve your level to make sure that there's not sexual content or something offensive in it. And so yesterday I submit mine and it's the high rated one.
Oh, because who's bragging?
She did.
It's a level with a cat. It's a cat face. Okay.
I saw that one. That one was adorable.
You saw it. People just tweeted me. They were just like, I saw your level. It's awesome. I voted for it. I'm just like, the creating cat level is not the purpose. It's not shipped. But just like, I ruined it.
Just a cat. We went to great lengths to spend
everywhere.
Months and months to create hard levels and make them good. And you just have to, create a cat face.
Yeah. It took you just 2 years to get these levels, and I nailed it with a cat.
And I couldn't even make a cat face because it wouldn't look like official. It wouldn't go with the darker story, you know, to put a cat face in the normal level. So I can't even use this trick.
Yeah, because you could have put one. Because if you think about the story, we don't want to spoil everyone, but there is a story. And there is a little girl in the story. And little girl means cat, plushies and everything. So you could have no?
I don't know.
I think it's possible. Come on, we should add my level just at the very end. Imagine, just like it's very end of the game, last level, the most complicated one, and then cat level. People would be just like,
and you won.
They will be just like, what the hell is that?
I just went through some of the hardest levels in the game and now it's a cat. I don't understand. why is this here?
So one of my questions was going to be, what were the unintended consequences of letting people design their own levels? But I think we've already covered that.
It's not unintended, because that's exactly what we expected, but yeah.
Yeah. It's the fun part of it. We completely expected like arty levels and completely crazy levels, just like
very, very hard.
Very, very hard one. Yeah. That just like super Meat Boy levels in Shift, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if we already have had some auto levels, like you don't have to play and everything is automatic.
I saw a couple stages like that were automatic stages. I think those are so unique and fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the three kinds of levels that you can have on content creation.
Yeah, that's good. I really loved it. I find that I used the level editor very late in development. But when I tried it, I was just like, that's nice. But they created it. At first, the level editor has been created for the level designers.
Mm.
So because they create all levels using that tool, and then we were just like, that tool is great. Maybe we should just put it on community content or something. So yeah, that's how the level editor came to life.
So I'm curious, you said there's a human element behind stages that are created and uploaded. Is it one of you that handles doing those, or is it someone else at the studio?
All of us. We will have just constantly the tool in the background of our PCs, and every time we see that there's a new level, just the person that sees it will just review it and just approve or reject it.
How many of you had to reject so far?
One. The publisher, he did the publisher created a business just for fun.
You could say that it was part of the validation process.
Yeah, but I have to say it wasn't me, because everybody in the studio blamed me. I was just like, no, it's not me. And I asked the publisher, I was just like, yeah, it was me. Oh, thank you. Can you tell the guy? Because everyone is blaming me. And he was just like, Oh no, I won't say anything, and I won't let I will just let the studio blame you because it's just so cool.
I'm kind of surprised that only one level has had to be moderated so far. I kind of expected a game like this to see at least one or two dick stages show up fairly quickly.
That's how you know I haven't submitted a stage yet.
But maybe it will come later. But it can be tricky, you know, because there are some blocks that you can activate or deactivate it. So pushing a button, and I can imagine that they could hide just like a penis somewhere. And you have to play all the level to just activate it. And you just like, oh my god, the penis was there all the time.
But you can guess the shape of the blocks that will be activated or deactivated. It's not a surprise, so maybe we come with the right high.
Oh, you're an expert in penises.
I think not in penises, but in ship levels. So by combining our strengths, we could.
I am an expert.
Come on. Oh, boy.
This episode spiraled into dick jokes very quickly.
And that's how we like it.
Just like, I think that we had so many experiences of that. Like, I remember during an event, it was PAX South, and someone just misread fishing cactus, and he read fisting cactus. And he was just like, he was telling to his brother, hey, brother, just look at this, it's called fisting cactus. No, that's not it. What's the problem?
That's not the same the kind of audience we are targeting with our games.
No, not really. Yep. Maybe we should do. Maybe we should just. I don't know, because we're just like, we love to do special games. You know, we did Epistory Typing Chronicles, which was a niche game.
There are two kinds of specials. There are two different kinds of special.
Yeah, but I mean, just like first game was a niche game. Second game was a niche game. That third game is a niche game. And maybe we should do just something just like, I don't know, like VR porn called. That could be a niche game.
Yeah.
A VR porn game called Fisting Cactus.
Exactly. But I see their face, and I don't think that the designer would like to create.
Oh, no. I don't think you would have to hire someone else to do more.
Yeah, they are not really
the idea. I'm not spending days and months to test and develop.
Because then you have to go home to your family, and they'd be like, oh, what'd you do at work today? And you're like, oh, I drew VR porn.
Yeah. What'd you do at work today? I don't want to talk about it. I never want to talk about it again.
Maybe that would help, because every time you go to your family and you say, and people are just like, what are you doing for a living? Video games. What are you really doing for a living? Video games. Maybe saying just like...
For some people working in the pornographic industry and video game industry is about the same level.
Yeah, something like, just like, this is fun, right? This is not a job. It's just fun. No, it's a job. Come on.
Oh, my Lord.
All the time, and just like sometimes I know that all my colleagues had at once the same problem when you are just like in a very intense conversation with all your friends, and they are just like talking about job and how hard it is, and then they are just like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't understand that because we have real jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, mine is real too. What? Come on. I think that they picture us just like playing all day.
Yeah.
You mean like you don't?
Videos on YouTube.
you don't spend all day making cat levels?
I could. I feel that my boss will be just behind me, just, what are you doing? Community content? Okay, all right.
Yes, very clearly. I am making these for community content, and I am not making them solely for my own enjoyment.
Exactly. That's always a workaround. She's just like, bullshit.
What are your daily duties at the studio? What do each of you, what are your positions at the studio?
Do you want to start? Okay, I'm starting. No,
yeah, start.
Okay, I start. So I'm in charge of communication, and so doing a little bit marketing and community management and PR and everything related to communication. It's me. And but I'm just like, I don't know how, but sometimes I help by testing and giving ideas and
making coffee,
making fruit salad. I don't know, doing graphics things. I don't know. I think that I'm just like a toolbox or something. It's me. I can do anything. Just ask me. I can do anything. So this is basically what I do.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of different things actually because. Mm-hmm.
Because we have
small studio and small team, so you have a lot of different jobs at the same time. Yeah. So on shift, I and Fabrice, the same, we were mostly level designers, so building the levels for the game. So that goes for sometimes you are just making a level, like Sophie said, like pen and paper and stuff like that. And some other time you are just trying to build at a macro scale to put all the levels in the right order of difficulty so that it tells some kind of story, try to build everything. And some other time it's mostly game design and trying prototyping stuff and trying different mechanics.
Different blocks, we define the curve of the jump, for example, to be sure that's the feeling we want. Funny things like that.
Depends on the stage of the project. Like near the end, you are mostly testing your levels, and at the beginning, we are making fake levels to try different kinds of blocks to check if there would be fun to integrate in the game or not. Before the block is already created in the game, you're trying to think ahead of how it will play with the other blocks to try if it's worth it or not to put it in the game.
Yeah, I remember at the very beginning of the project, we had like 100 blocks.
We went for the studio went for a collaborative process to make everyone in a room and try to brainstorm about the block idea. So we had a long, long list. So we had to sort this, everything. And
It was very messy. At the beginning. Yeah, I think that collaborative process was nice, but maybe a little bit too much because, you know, just like it's the job to be a game designer and I don't think that everybody can do it. But we can have ideas.
Were there any really cool block ideas that you had that you wished would have made the game, but they just didn't work out the way you wanted?
Yes, and maybe it's going to be later in the project. The portal block.
Don't tease anything.
But I want the portal block so hard.
The portal block was a technical difficulty.
Just don't tell me about technical difficulty. I'm gonna talk to the programmers. We're going to solve this. We're going to solve that.
Bring the programmer to the podcast. You can talk to
programmers!
Fuck it, get them in here. Get the programmers. Why didn't the goddamn portal block work?
That was so funny. It was just like brain fucking. Just like.
It's another of this block which is really hard to explain.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It was very fun. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, but we of course we had just like technical issue with that block. Yeah, maybe later. You know.
Are you guys considering DLC packs or would you just create more community levels for added content to the game?
I think we go in the community levels, not DLC, because we don't want to add anything to the story or anything. Mm-hmm. So, because when you finish the game, the story is over. So it's like, yes. And they already did. I saw that Fabrice created some level for them. For the community content. So what was that level? It was just like one that was just like removed from the game, or it's just like a brand new that you created?
No, that was Some of them was sorry, my shit. English is very, very bad.
So is mine.
Yeah. we tested a lot of levels for the solo progression. Some of them wasn't appropriated for the difficulty curve. So we just took them for later, for community level, for mm-hmm. example. So yeah, some of them are currently... what was currently made from the solo progression, and
I remember you made me test one, and then you were just like, how did you find it? I wanted to rage quit. All right, so this will be in community level.
yeah
because you're crazy guys, these guys are crazy. I'm sure that I will have just people insulting me on Steam or everywhere, just like about the level, a progression, and I play to give them their phone numbers and email addresses.
Oh boy.
To be fair, you asked us, like not you personally, but the team asked us to make harder levels, so...
Because harder the better? Yeah. I don't know.
Because for us, you know, all my nightmares are now in black and white.
I know.
Shifting in my brain.
Yeah, I know. When I created, when I had to create a lot of levels for socials, media, and one night I dreamt that my body was made of block from shift. Yeah, it was. I don't know if I can say the rest of the.
No, I'm not sure you can.
because people had just to activate my trigger and it was just.
Now I'm kind of curious to hear the rest of this.
Yeah.
I woke up and was just like, oh my God, what's weird, very weird. Just, oh my God, no.
Indeed.
And now we are all uncomfortable. I'm sorry. That's what I do for a living, making people be uncomfortable.
Hey, I like that. The more crazy and the more uncomfortable on the show, the better.
That's why they let me be here.
Pretty much, yeah.
What about your dreams, David? Can you dream? Because I'm sure I...
So now it's a podcast about dreams. So
yeah,
everyone is telling his dreams.
They have to picture, they have to know us and I to know so. The level designer of the game. And I know that Fabrice is a human being. I'm not sure about you yet. So I was wondering, do you dream?
I'm not doing to recall my dream here.
Do you dream about parrots?
I don't try to remember them, so I don't dream to read. But it's true that making a lot of levels like that and having to think them in your head without having them played.
Just going crazy.
Yeah, it's starting to, maybe not crazy, but you're starting to think a bit differently. For some times, you're thinking differently.
When you see people, you're shifting.
It's weird to
your
explain
head.
It, yeah. You get to a certain level of understanding of the world and the white.
Oh my God! Everything is connected now.
As long as it's black, white, and within a grid.
Yeah. We see black and white, and I just like a question that I had last week was the artist of Shift. So for nearly 2 years, he worked on a black and white game, and now he's on other production, which is just fully colorful world. I'm just like, it could be just, I'm sure it is just like hard for him to do it. It's just like, I didn't ask him, but
I don't think he lost his completely sight for colors.
that's not it, but I don't know. It's not like just like cooking pasta for a year and then you have to cook pancakes and you can't do it anymore.
You just hand the artist a color wheel and he's like, what is this sorcery?
I don't know what any of these are anymore.
Except yellow. Yellow is in the game.
Yeah, yellow is in the game.
Yeah, that's true. That's the person. Who? Where? I don't remember.
The scarf.
the scarf.
Yeah, but someone asked me. Yes, someone told me you should put more red in the game.
More red, yes.
Why red?
I was just like, for no.
Imagine different communities with different colors against them. You know. We want blue.
Red seems to be a pretty popular choice when you have monochromatic games like Inside and Albert and Otto. They tend to be very grayscale with red. So it was nice to see yellow. Because A, that's my favorite color, and B, it was different.
Yeah, and the yellow, it's just as it's connected to the story and the little girl and all that memory thing that it's just, I'm spoiling again.
That's why I let you go on that road.
So I'm going to mute the micro and microphone, explain it, and then So, yeah, yellow, I think that yellow was really the color for it. Because yellow is childish and just like, you know.
Yeah, it's easier to see even a dark blue in a black environment, too.
Of course.
That's also part of why we chose yellow, to be honest. But yeah.
Of course.
In color theory, yellow symbolizes happiness.
Yes, exactly. And this is what, in the story, this is exactly what Axel Vertigo does. Axel Vertigo promises to bring happiness to the guy. And that's the reason why the guy asked for help. And that's the reason why he's connected to Shift Quantum.
So it cannot be red.
Because red is power. That's different. That's a different theme that the game isn't going for.
Like, what would people expect red for? Like, do they expect your character to hit spikes and then just explode into a red mist of blood and gore or something?
Yeah, we thought about it. And I think that the reason why we didn't do it, it's just like, no, we are rated teen. And if we had the red color for the blood, we would be rated more harshly than that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like a 16, a rated 16, if you have a red color for the blood.
That's weird. Rating systems are so weird, where some games could get away with things and others can't. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. And people, they don't understand it. Just people think that maybe that's because the game is rated 12, for example. I heard people say, oh, that's a game for kids. But
yeah,
no, just say that there's no violence in it or just like... Yeah, I
it's
don't
not
know.
The difficulty of the game, just some elements, some very specific elements that make you in certain categories.
With about ratings, I had an argument with a woman in the train. We were in the train, she was talking to her friend. She was just like, oh, my kid is playing video game are bad and blah, 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 bad video game. My kid is playing GTA and it's bad, 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 bad. And the kid apparently was 12. And I saw completely red. I was just like, ask the person, do you buy porn to your kid? I was just like, no, why would I do? Would I do that? Just like the rating on the GTA say it's like mature content. So I don't get it. You should give him porn. Same. No?
Yeah.
And
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, she was very, very upset about that reflection coming from nowhere. A girl that she doesn't know. Just like a train.
See, all three of my kids are gamers, but I'm one of those parents that's like a pain in the ass about ratings. And so, like, my oldest is 14. She even wants to be a game developer. And she was like, she come in the room yesterday. She's like, can I play Life is Strange? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, eh. And I wanted to tell her no. And I also wanted to tell her yes, because rating-wise, I would have just said no. But I did end up letting her play it.
Yeah, you played it. You know what's inside the game. So I think it's very important.
Yeah, because I know that it's a level of maturity and can she handle the content. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that, you know, as far as that goes, it's probably fine. But if she was like, hi, can I play Call of Duty? I'd be like, no.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. We have two artists here at Fishing Cactus, and they are just really picky about it. So every time they want to show something to the kids, they're just watching in, making sure that everything is just like safe content for the kids. And, but they are just like easily afraid, I think. Maybe that's the reason why they're easily afraid. Maybe it's because of the parents, I don't know. Maybe they're too safe. Yeah, nice. Just like...
But that leads to a fairly good question. When you guys aren't working on Shift or your own projects, what games are you playing right now?
Oh, I'm not playing right now. I don't...
You're playing with a kitten.
Yeah, I have to play with the kitten. What was your last game, David?
I'm trying to, right now, I'm trying to catch up on the Steam library. So that's
good luck.
Answer, yeah, all the time, but really trying to just have them and remove them. So I finished, what is it called? The Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, so very old game, but it was sitting in the library and finished it. I played, I'd spend much more time in Watch Dogs 2. Yep. So the last game I played was Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, the last game I played just before the kitty was Civilization 6.
Civilization 2.
And but I'm just obsessed with that, you know, that special campaign when you're playing Australian on Australia, which is the MacNav or something. I don't know. I don't know how it's called in English. But you have just 60 rounds to be the richest one of the Australia.
Ah.
I'm very obsessed about being the richest one.
But can you do it in 60 turns?
It's very hard. In 60. You have to make very good choice. And I'm so obsessed that I just turning around the island, finding the good place, and if I fell after 3 turns, I just started over again until I find the good place. So it takes me just like ages. Yeah.
I don't think that's how it was meant to be played. But
No, it's just like my compulsive problems.
Yeah, I played a bit of Sims 2, but after one long game, I stopped because I don't want to spend too much time in games. One day, long time, but after I stopped.
You should play a minute for that. In that game, your character is dying every 60 seconds, so that's a pretty short session. Yeah.
And what's the last game you played, Fabrice?
That was Minute.
Minute.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool game. I dug that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
Cole, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think too.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Very nice. Anytime, guys.
Yeah, it was a really fun chat. Is there anything?
Sophie, we need you. You're just right here.
Well, give us all the information. Where is the game available? How much is it? How can people stay in touch with you?
Yeah, so the game. It's $20, and it's on Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. And currently on Steam, it has a discount of 10%, which is quite nice. And I think I said everything. So where is it available and how much is it?
And how can people keep up to date with you?
Yeah. We have a Discord. We have a Discord channel, and we're all just very active on it. So people can just drop by and ask questions, and if they have problems with the game or they would like to have more information about our next games, they can join us, and we are just like, we were always on it. So we always are, all day. I'm on it all day.
It's almost like it's your job.
That sounds like a job.
That's a good excuse. It's my job. I have to be on Discord all day, every day.
Yeah, someone just complain one day. So just like, yeah, and Sophie is all the time on Facebook.
It's yes. your job. You have to be.
What did you try to say? Try again.
Oh, man. Well, Fabrice, David, Sophie, it's been fantastic having you on the show chatting about Shift. Everyone else, stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more show. Did you guys have any final words to wrap this up?
Yeah, you have to play Shift because this is the game that makes you feel stupid and clever at the same time.
And send us some levels.
Yeah, and because you have to buy it because I have to feed my kittens.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. God damn it. We already did this part. That's how long of a day this has been. So welcome back, everyone. We're still here.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. It really has. Big thanks again to everyone at Fish and Cactus for joining us, chatting about Shift Quantum and how someone called them Fist and Cactus. And that's all I've been able to think about all day is just...
That's amazing.
Fisting Cactus. It's so good. But we do have more show to take care of. We got some news and reviews to take care of. Some guest reviews are going to be dropping in. Everything is recorded completely out of order, and I don't even care. I don't care.
It should just be like part of the course at this point, because we've been doing it chaotically for 6 or 7 months now?
Something like that. I've been doing it chaotically for 5 years. I don't know what you're talking about.
The same thing.
Just a smidge.
I like to pretend that there was some kind of organization to the show before I just fucked everything up.
Zilch. There was, this shit was never organized at all. Never. And it never will be. And it would probably help if I had the proper layout on the screen during the stream. So, you know, if you don't check out our streams on Twitch, you probably should, because we do cool shit on there.
Sometimes codes find their way onto screens and get given away.
Yeah, if enough people show up. That's an if. And as long as I still, as long as I still have codes, which by today, by the way, today we are going to be doing a giveaway on the show. And finally, we're going to have to pick winners, which is going to be fun.
Oh, no.
So that it's up to you.
Do
you
have to be like, not that one.
So do you want to start with the news or do you want to just start off with the giveaway?
No, let's make them wait. Let's do the news first.
All right. Okay.
I feel particularly sadistic.
So big news of the week is Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus for June were both announced. All around.
It feels very lackluster for an E3 month.
On both sides, too. Like, there's some winners on both sides, and there's some meh on both sides as well. But we'll start with the what I think is the better of the two, PlayStation Plus for June. PlayStation 3 is going to have Zombie Driver HD and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier, which it's cool to see a big AAA title showing up on PS3 of all platforms, since they've been getting shit for a couple of months. So it's good to see them get something nice. The Vita is getting Atomic Ninjas in Squares, which in my eyes are both fairly lackluster. What are you going to do? And then PS4 has two pretty solid ones with Trials Fusion and XCOM 2.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with XCOM, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who are excited about Trials.
Oh, there are plenty. But then we jump over to the Xbox side of things. We'll start with the good ones, the Xbox 360 games from June 1st through the 15th. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, which I'm excited about because I got to trade in my physical copy for like $20 today.
Oh, wow.
I know. GameStop was still given a decent amount on that one. I should check the receipt. What did I get for it? Because that's the kind of show we run where I'm just going to fucking look during the show. 1820.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't know that they gave out more than 10 cents for a game. Yeah,
for a Sonic racing game from last generation, of all things.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, and then June 16th through the 30th is LEGO Indiana Jones 2, another solid one. It's not the best LEGO game out there, but, you know, LEGO games are always fairly solid anyway.
Yeah, my kids like them. I don't ever play them, but it'll make number 2 and number 3 happy. So.
Yeah. And then we've got the Xbox One lineup for June, and to say it's divisive is a bit of an understatement. For the entire month of June, the 1st through the 30th, is Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia, which doesn't surprise me because we've gotten damn near every other Assassin's Creed via Games with Gold.
You know what's nuts is that when Assassin's Creed China was free, I was like, oh, while China is free, they'll mark down India and Russia, and I'll get them then, and I'll have the whole trilogy, and I did, and now I regret it. Because if I just waited, I would have got them all for free. It is a good like spinoff of the Assassin's Creed, though. I do like the series.
I'll say within the next 2 years, Origins will be Games with Gold. That's my guess.
D and Evelyn, number one. I normally don't say her name, but I flipped. She has a name. They're both like, oh, we really want Origins, and it looks so cool. We need it. I'm like, yeah, but if you wait, it'll be free.
Yeah. Eventually.
And I'm not paying for it.
Eventually. Every Assassin's Creed game will become backward or Games with Gold at some point and backward compatible. Yeah. I think they are all backward compatible now, aren't they?
I think Liberation and Rogue might not be.
Oh, Rogue is.
Did they make Rogue? Is it? Oh, yep. Okay. Well, Liberation is not, I don't think, though.
Well, then there's the one we're waiting on.
The one. And it's one of my favorites. I wish it was.
Speaking of backward compatible stuff, we got three additions to the program this week. Oh, yeah. I tried to block it out.
Yeah, you don't even want to talk about it.
I tried to block it out. From June 16th through July 15th, our Game with Gold is some shitty DLC pack for Smite. A free-to-play game, and we get fucking DLC. To the credit of Xbox, it is a pack that is allegedly valued at over $100, but fucking free-to-play DLC. Why?
I could not be more... And I feel so bad when I say I'm disappointed in a $100 freebie.
Yeah.
But it's for a game I have no interest in ever touching. At least when games go games with gold that I haven't played in the past, I usually feel some kind of motivation of like, you know what? I hadn't looked at it, but I'll try it.
Yeah.
I've played Smite. I hate that shit. I don't want this. What is this? Why is this a thing? And I know that, like, there are Smite competitions, and it's a big ordeal, and people love Smite, and so there's plenty of people who are, like, shit in the bed with excitement here. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I know my buddy JT, who drops by the chat every now and then, he was really excited because he said it's one of the few games he plays. I couldn't find any possible way to care less about DLC being a game with gold. It's just fucking stupid. At least when the Killer Instinct stuff went games with gold, you know, it usually included, it included like the Killer Instinct arcade version, Killer Instinct 2 arcade version. It included a shitload of characters, which you only ever get a character a week if you play the free version of that game.
Right.
So I felt that those were almost kind of worth it, although it still sucked that it was basically DLC for a free-to-play game.
Right.
But this just, oh my god, I don't get what they were thinking. Apparently, PlayStation got a similar pack many months ago where they got a Smite pack for part of their PlayStation Plus lineup, but it wasn't one of the two PS4 games. It was a bonus in addition to the PS4 games.
Yeah, I think that's where they kind of faltered here.
Like, if it was a bonus, that would be amazing. But to take a spot of one of the free games that we would normally get, that sucks, man. That fucking just, why?
They kind of, sometimes you get lucky during E3 month and they go, oh, here's a bonus one that we're announcing today. Have fun. So I'm kind of hoping like we get something good to make up for it.
We'll see. Just a couple of weeks away.
10 days. Well, from when we're recording. Sorry to whoever listens to this later.
Yeah.
No one listens to it later. Your future listener is a lucky son of a bitch because then they're going to be like, but it's only like 3 days away.
Either that or they'll change their calendar and be like, they said it was 10 days. Those lying bastards.
I hope nobody relies on us as their sole news source.
I hope no one ever relies on us for anything. That would be a huge mistake on their part. But yeah, fucking Games with Gold for June is a pretty big letdown.
Pretty big bummer. Yeah, I agree.
At least Sonic is awesome.
Does that have online?
Yes.
Yes. Is the servers up?
As far as I know, they should be.
English are hard. It's been a long day. I can't word. that's one of the biggest things. Like, I've heard people talking, like, bickering back and forth over whether it had online and whether or not there were even servers for it. So, if it has online and the servers are up, that's pretty good.
Yeah, as far as I remember, it does. So, some other news, since we're talking about Sonic game, there was a Team Sonic racing game that was announced this week, and it seems that they have taken everything people really loved about Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, you know, all the other Sega stuff that was in there, and removed all of it. And now it's just Sonic only.
So they took everything everybody loved and threw it away.
Yeah, so now it's going to be Sonic and Tails and Knuckles and fucking Big the Cat and that crocodile thing and just other shitty Sonic characters that nobody gives a shit about.
Damn.
I don't understand their thinking of removing all of the other Sega stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't have words. I don't understand why that's a thing. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Let's see. Mega Man 11 has been given an October 2nd release date for all platforms, which is cool. The surprising part of all of this is the price tag for it is clocking in at $29.99.
That seems fair. Were people expecting it to be more?
Well, 9 and 10 were $10 each.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
you know, they were expecting it to be less.
You can get collections of 1 through 6 and 7, 8, 9, and 10 for $20 each, and now it's going to be $30 for just the new game.
For just 11. I think that's what threw me off. I have one of the collections, but I didn't buy it. I want it. So
well, I know Collection 2 is part of Game Pass this month. So
in that case, I have both of them then.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm rooting for the game. The new trailer looks incredible. It looks significantly better than it did the first time they showed the game off. It looks cleaner, crisper, smoother. The visual style doesn't look as weird as it used. Like, it used to look a bit too much like Mighty No. 9, and it looks like Mega Man now, which I'm excited about. But man, that $30 price tag worries me. I hope it does well, because I want Mega Man to come back big time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. Last bit of news I have is, we mentioned backward compatible stuff. Three games were added this week. We have, I believe, officially completed all of the Saints Row games available on Xbox One now, with Saints Row and Saints Row Get Out of Hell both being added. And then the Micro Machines-esque Toy Box Turbos was added as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I was surprised. I fired up Toy Box Turbos. I fired up the trial on the 360 to see if I wanted to pick it up, because I enjoyed Micro Machines and I wanted to see what this one was like, which, spoilers, it's pretty much Micro Machines without the license. I was surprised. It's an arcade game with 1,000 gamer score.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
It must be a newer one. So it must be after they made the decision that all games are going to be treated as 1,000 point everything forever. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the news I got. Any other news for you?
I don't think so. I don't think we have any news. I don't have any news. We already did your news.
Well, then we could jump on over to the giveaway, but check in my emails. Before we get to that, we have something weird, and that is an email to read from one of our listeners. Yeah, our good friend Zach Lyons. We haven't heard from him in quite a while. He has still been religiously listening to episodes. He's quite a while behind, but he just listened to episode 283, and he writes saying that, hey Joe, just listened to episode 283 and wanted to throw my hat into the ring for your Narcosis giveaway.
Oh no. So
he says, true story, when I was a kid about 6 or 7 years old, I went to the lake with my extended family, and I tried following my older cousins into the deeper part of the lake. I hadn't yet learned to swim, but I was doing all right at jumping on my tiptoes to keep up with them. At one point, I jumped forward and unknowingly went over a drop-off, and when my feet didn't touch the ground underneath, I started freaking out. I flailed wildly and tried to get my head above water and somehow managed a few screams and yells. Couldn't pay attention to my surroundings since I was panicking so bad, but thankfully after what felt like my final moments alive, one of my aunts grabbed me, pulled me safely to shore. It was terrifying, but soon one of my cousins agreed to teach me how to swim, and I'm pretty cool with deep water these days. Anyway, my biggest ocean fear would probably be surviving a plane crash in the ocean and drifting among the wreckage until I starved to death or was eaten by aquatic predators. Fingers crossed you haven't picked a winner yet, 100 episodes later. Zach, I've got some bad news. By the time you hear this in 2020, we already did pick winners for that one, buddy. But I'll see if I could hook you up with something from my Listo codes to thank you for your email. It's been too long since we've heard from you.
Should we tell them the bad news about what happened to Honor Code?
I mean, I think we've covered it on the show. But yeah, we won't be able to hook you up with a copy of Narcosis because Honor Code closed down. Apparently, the game just didn't perform well enough for them, and they had to shut her down and move on with life. So, bummer to hear.
Rip.
Anyway,
they
giveaway time.
They forgot Hammy.
Yeah, Hammy. Poor Hammy. No, not Hammy. Actual giveaway time. Let us move to this. We have three copies of Emily Wants to Play 2 available to give away. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 entries.
Okay, hold on. I gotta make notes.
Yeah, this one is gonna require notes. So let me know when you are ready to go.
What was the prompt?
Just why you wanted the game.
Oh,
easy one.
Okay. You didn't want to like make them tell terrible stories about haunted dolls in their childhood or anything.
Yeah, it was a last minute kind of thing.
Can I tell a horrible story about a haunted doll in my childhood?
Yes, go for it.
So when I was a kid, the horror movies Chucky and all those were things, the Child's Play movies. And so one night my sister broke down, and after a whole bunch of begging, she rented Child's Play and let us watch it. At the time, my nieces were visiting. I say my nieces, there's not a huge gap between me and my nieces. I was the youngest in my family, and so like I was closer in age to my nieces than I was to my siblings. And one of my nieces was there, and she was, oh Lord, I was maybe 10 or 11, and she was about 3 years younger. And me and her didn't get along at all. So after we watched that Child's Play movie and they went to bed, and I had this great big doll that my brother had sent me for my birthday. And if you push the button on the back, it walked and sang in French. And so I got that doll out and I used some tape to put a butter knife in its hand. And I set it at the end of her bed and I pushed the button and got it started singing and then ran out of the room.
Oh, God.
And she woke up and she was trying to climb over her bed, the headboard and stuff, to get away from that doll. It was hilarious. And I was a horrible child.
Yeah, that sounds pretty evil.
It was amazing.
Well, now it's time to hear from people who don't have creepy childhood doll stories, but they do want to win a game. So let us start off.
They will have a creepy childhood doll story when they're done with the game.
Maybe they might. But our first email is from Ralph Wunsch. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Who says, I want to win Emily Wants to Play 2 on Xbox One because I love horror games and contests. Thanks so much for the chance. Cheers. Short and sweet. Loves horror and contests.
that's somebody after my heart right there.
Next one is from Jorge Arias, who says, thanks for the opportunity, guys. I want to win because I love horror games, and I never played Emily Wants to Play game, and I would like to give it a lot of hours. Anyway, thanks for all, guys. So, loves horror again. And hasn't played with Emily.
Oh, boy.
All right, next one we have from Aroto Tomato, a familiar name. Let's see. Holy smokes, Scoob. I was here drinking my coffee, chilling, and you tell me I got 4 hours to send an email? That's some adrenaline pumping into my veins. Anyhow, well, gee, Mr. SML, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself after Emily 1 scared the living crap out of me, and we both know how many poop stories I got as it is. Oh, you. But asking me if I want to answer the call to this new adventure? Yes. Yes, I do. Being scared ain't nice. It's actually quite uncomfy, but there's something about being uncomfortable that I admire, and that is controlling when you're uncomfortable. Sucks when you're in a situation you have no control over and things go bad, but if you're seeking that, then it's okay, and I like that in a weird way. Also, my sleep schedule's all kind of fucked up, and I'm up until 5 a.m. most days recently, so it seems like a good time to shit my pants. I'll even keep my bottle of Johnny Walker Red Label Second Harvest with me, and by Second Harvest, you know what I mean, right? No.
I don't know what you mean.
So Aroto wants to shit self. Hey, that's what they said. Next email's from Michael Barodi, who says, well, it's not just Emily that wants to play, Swizzlers wants to play. Haha. I can say that this is a scary looking game. I can say that and if and when I stream it, I think I will scream. I may say fuck a few times more than I normally would. Remind me to set the stream to 18 plus. I hope I get picked so you can watch me screaming away like a very little girl who would while playing this game. And a quick thanks to Royal Sefton, who just followed us in chat. How you doing, buddy? Hey. How you doing, buddy?
I'm sorry you make questionable decisions, but thanks for the follow.
I'm glad he's following. He does enough reviews for us. It's about goddamn time. So Michael Barodi wants to say fuck. So
same.
Brian Martinez says, I'd love to have a copy of Emily Wants to Play 2. Huge fan of horror games. Actually had a blast playing the first one. Got all the achievements and been itching for the second one ever since it was announced. Thanks for the chance. Loves horror. Wants achievements.
Same.
Next one from Nathan Ashton, who says, I want to win because I love scaring the shit out of my wife with horror games such as this. I made her watch me attempt to play through the first one, and she couldn't deal with it. She had nightmares about that clown. What a wimp. So, wants to scare wife. Or wants to make wife shit. A lot of poop. Next one from John Prudlow, who says, Dear SML Podcast, I want to play Emily Wants to Play 2-2. Can I play it in the dark? Could I play it for a lark? Is it scary like they say if you don't know how to play? Do you think there is a chance that it might make me shit my pants? If things do not turn out right, can I still sleep at night? Are achievements 0 and 5 if I try to stay alive? Of course, it is more fun if achievements end in 1. To SML we go. It's time to start the show. No more fucking round. More cool games to be found. Their reviews are the best. Cool games to buy and quest. For the puns, I have no time. Just some stupid, silly rhyme. Thank you for your consideration.
That was amazing.
That was, I think we've got an easy winner right there.
Yeah.
I'm just marking that down as a win already.
I want to put that on a t-shirt.
Well, you can print your own shirts. Man, what is with my throat tonight? Oh, it's fucking every episode it happens to me. That's what happens when I talk for 7 hours in a day. Next email from Latino Heat, who says, Good evening to the SML Podcast. Me being a huge fan of horror and scary games, playing games like Outlast and Friday the 13th, which had me nearly having premature diarrhea, brings me to this scary franchise Emily Wants to Play. I was able to play the first one. I must say, had my hair standing up throughout the whole game, scared shitless, especially with the clown spooking me the hell out. I must say, it's one stressful, spooky game, which leads me, if given the opportunity, I'll be able to continue my own personal spook fest if given the opportunity. Thanks so much for the opportunity. So, wants to be scared. So we had an easy win, and now we have a whole bunch of other ones. Ralph loves horror and contests. Jorge loves horror and hasn't gotten to play with Emily yet. Arodo wants to shit himself. Michael wants to say fuck a lot. Brian loves horror and wants achievements. Nathan wants to scare his wife, and Latino wants to be scared. A lot of people want to be scared.
As a horror aficionado who has a spouse that hates horror, I can't support scaring your spouse unwillingly. So sorry.
I think I want to give one to Jorge just because he hasn't played an Emily Wants to Play game yet, and I think it'd be a good way to welcome him to the franchise.
On the flip side, though, Brian has 1K'd the first, so he kind of. I'm curious if he could 1K the second.
Well, there's one more winner, so that's your call.
On the other side, I kind of want to see Swizzler scream like a girl. Can we flip a coin? Where's that Gears of War coin that I've lost to before?
The Gears coaster. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I haven't done this in a while. I'm not going to move the camera to do it all, but I will flip the coaster. Heads with the Gears logo is going to be for Michael, and tails without it is going to be for Brian.
Okay.
And we've got tails, so it goes to Brian.
All right. But he has to 1K it, or I'm going to be mad.
All right.
So, I'm not going to be mad, but I want to see somebody 1K.
So Brian, Jorge, and John, you are our three winners. Congrats on being the winners, and hopefully you all enjoy shitting yourselves.
I think we've started a horrible precedent with this shit. I'm blaming Arodo for that. I think I liked it better when people tried to woo me with the term plethora.
Oh, God. Maybe next time.
Right. Also, No Pulse is apparently making fun of how I say horror because it sounded like whore.
Well, maybe you're a fan of both.
I'm down. I don't judge. It's 2018.
Oh, man. Anyway, let's jump to the reviews. This has been a long episode the way it is, so let's just jump into these. First game to talk about is called Die for Valhalla, developed and published by Monster Couch, released May 29th on Switch, PC, PS4, May 30th on Xbox One for $11.99. In the land of Vikings, a monstrous portal has opened. The Great Old One is plotting to take over the world. Chaos spreads far and wide, and the party's just getting started. Novice Valkyries, along with their new mysterious friends, set out to save the world. What could possibly go wrong? Cole, tell us what went wrong.
Well, it's a roguelike, and so going wrong is permadeath. Nice. So I tried not to go wrong, if at all. And I'm actually going to say, before I get into everything else, that in 6 hours, I only died one time.
I'm proud of you.
Yay me. And even it wasn't like the worst of things, but it was, I'll get to it. let's back up and actually talk about what it is first. Die for Valhalla is a 2D beat 'em up. Like I said, it does have a roguelike aspect to it, but you have a choice of whether the roguelike version is what you play, or if you just play Super Pussy Crabby B mode where you don't have permadeath. So you can play on normal and get through it and be fine.
I'm jumping in quick to thank Royal for his 666 biddies.
Oh my.
Yeah. Love you, Royal.
Do we have alerts for things like that?
Yeah, but they don't make sounds.
Oh. Okay. all right, so let me try that again. 666 aside. like I said, you can play, you know, on normal mode and not have to deal with the roguelite aspect. But if you do like a challenge, it's there. The game starts with the player taking control of a spirit known as a Valkyrie. And you start off pretty low level. You can't do much of anything. What you really need to do is use your Valkyrie to possess things in order to get through the level and do all the beat 'em ups. So your Valkyrie can take control of inanimate traps, or, and this is what I like to do best, you can take over warriors that are on the battlefield. So there are some that are dead. There are just tombstones littered literally everywhere. And you just go up to a tombstone, and the type of warrior that is dead there is marked on the tombstone with like a sword or a shield or bow and arrow. You find the one that you want to possess. You press A couple of times to summon them. And then your Valkyrie takes over and you have control of that character instead of the Valkyrie now. Then you just proceed to walk right and smash everything.
Yay, smashing things.
There will just be hordes of enemies, various traps, and you can, if you don't want the Valkyrie to take over a warrior, you can actually possess a trap. Use the Valkyrie to possess like a barrel and set it in between a wave of enemies, and then remove yourself from it so that you're not possessing it anymore, and it will blow up and take out the enemies. So as fun as beating the shit up out of everything is, it's also pretty fun to just randomly leave barrels around and just wait and see what happens. There are different types of warriors available for you to possess. There are, I think 13 clans. I forgot to write down the actual number. But there are different clans, each with their own strengths and weaknesses. You choose one in the beginning to start with, but you can get upgrades later on and buy the other clans as well. And then within each clan, there are different types of warriors. Some have, like I said, the bows and arrows. Some have sword and shield. Some have axes. There's berserkers and thralls. And there's just different play styles to each one, but ultimately no matter which one you choose, you're just going to be running into everybody and smashing X to hit things. There's not a lot of effort and thought put into the gameplay if you don't really want to go the route of trying to set the traps and stuff. You just run through and smash X, and you'll kill everything, and it'll be fine. That is kind of the game's biggest downfall, though, is that you can just run through and smash X. And it gets repetitive because it's just level after level after level of running from left to right and just getting from A to B. When you get to the end of each level, there's one of three endings for each one. And most commonly, it will be like an even bigger wave of enemies that will come after you. Every now and then, you'll get a shrine that you need to defend instead. And even rarer than that is a boss. Hmm. Every single one of the bosses, though, have the exact same attack pattern, no matter what it is. So, again, it just gets a little repetitive. You're like, I've seen this song and dance before.
Yeah.
And if you've played it and you've managed to survive for an extended period of time, like I said, I went 6 hours before my first death. And I was just kind of like, okay, I'm a little on the overpowered side, because you do get, when you kill an enemy, you get glory, and the glory goes into an XP bar, and then once you level up, you can choose to put your points into your spirit, or your health, or your defense, or your attack, and build those up, and then you can also unlock extra perks. So I had it to a point where, like, every time I picked up glory, it damaged another enemy and gave me health, and then I got extra health for damaging the enemy. And I was God, just
so you became a walking out. Tank.
And it was just insane. and there wasn't much in the way of a challenge. And when I did die, it was because I got distracted by a kid and I stopped playing. I thought I'd pause, but the pause was the back button and not the forward button, and that was that.
That'll so, teach you.
You know, that was, then I looked back, I was like, well, shit.
Well,
there's a 6 hour run gone.
Repetition aside, $12 on this one. What do you think of it, though?
I do give it a buy. Like I said, it does get a little repetitive, and that's really more if you're just playing it in long stretches. If you're breaking it up, just playing a couple levels at a time, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I found it far more enjoyable to do that. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to run a few levels, and whatever happens, happens, and then I'm going to go do something else.
Cool.
But I did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad I got to buy it, because while you were reviewing it, I was like, this game looks cool. I'm going to buy it. So I bought
it. Yeah, you should. Yeah, you'll probably... And like I said, I could easily see myself, even after I'm done with the review and everything, sitting there one day being like, I just need to smash some things. I'll play Dive from Valhalla, because I'll just go smash things.
That works. All right, next game to talk about is called Earth Atlantis, developed by Pixel Perfects, published by Head Up Games. It released June 1st on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99. The great climate shift struck at the end of the 21st century. 96% of the Earth's surface is underwater. Human civilization has fallen. Machines have adapted the shape and form of marine animals. The ocean is full of creature-machine hybrid monsters. You are a hunter, and the new journey begins. Earth Atlantis is an underwater, horizontal scrolling shmup, pretty much. You start off in your submarine ship, and you are tasked with navigating this labyrinth of collapsed buildings and just underwater sea area to try and track down, these marked monster animals that are on your map. Like, two or three will pop up at the same time. You have to navigate through, get to them, and it's a boss. You take out the boss, a new pathways will open, and you move on and take out more bosses. And it's basically a kind of a string of boss rushes. There are other monsters there, which when the game starts out, there aren't many. It's just enough to keep you entertained in between the boss fights. The game difficulty, though, it jacks up fairly steadily through the game, where by the time I was dying in the game, it was close to straight up bullet hell action. That's how much shit was going on the screen, which is, you know, it was really, really cool to watch that build up from only a couple of enemies on screen at once and only a couple of bullets coming at you to just waves of monsters and waves of bullets coming at you, dodging everything, moving around. The game has a beautiful, beautiful pencil art style. It looks like everything is scribbled in pencil on like parchment paper. And it is, it is stunning in looking. It is even more beautiful in motion. And as much as I'm enjoying the game, there are some issues I have with the game. The first one is the way that you turn in the game. When you are facing a direction, the only way to change your direction is by hitting the bumper. And then, yeah, it's awkward. I believe it's, I can't remember if it was the left trigger and left bumper turn you, or if it's the bumpers turn you and the triggers fire. I can't remember. I could just remember it felt awkward trying to turn my ship while still trying to fight enemies. It was an awkward place to have the turn, and I would have rather have seen it on a face button. Actually, yeah. I think it was on the B as well, but it just something about it just didn't feel right while I was playing. Like there was just
I've seen other shmups with that, where you have to turn yourself, and it is not a mechanic I enjoy.
Yeah. It was just weird. I would have preferred, you know, turn, you hit right and you turn right, you hit left, you turn left, and then you just continue in that direction. I can understand the need to have it that way so that you can, you know, face forward and shoot monsters while still moving backwards and dodging. But then I kind of wish it would have been just like a twin stick where you hold left on the other stick to shoot left, you hold right to shoot right, stuff like that. I don't know. It was awkward turning the ship. After playing for a while, I did get used to it, but you know, first starting out, it is interesting. The other gripe I had is that once you get into the game and you're a bunch of bosses in, you're halfway, three quarters of the way through the game, and things start getting really, really hard, if you die, you might as well just start the game over. They do have checkpoints that you could hit as you travel through, and if you die, you'll go back to that checkpoint. But you lose all of your powered-up shots, you lose all of your special attack weapons, you lose everything, and you're back to just a single bullet. And it is near impossible to get back into things if you're far enough into the game. So every time I've gotten in, and I've gotten far enough into the game that I felt at risk at dying, if I were to die, I would just say, fuck it, I'll start over fresh. I would rather spend that extra time and have the opportunity to get better weapons and be more powerful than to struggle trying and hoping that I'll get enough power-up drops to be able to handle any of the bosses. Other than that, though, the game is absolutely gorgeous. It is a lot of fun. And $15 on it, I give it a very, very recommended try. It's not going to be for everyone, but if nothing else, play it just for the visuals, because damn, is this a good-looking game.
Nice.
Next game is called Zamb Redux, developed and published by Nano Games, released May 30th on Xbox One for $19.99. Exterminate hordes of biomutants created by a mad scientist. Mix and match turrets, powers, and traps to find your favorite play styles. From close combat to long-range destruction, when your buddy isn't there, go solo, switch dynamically between the characters, and power through challenges all on your own. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, Zamb is a competitive 3D cooperative. I can't read my own writing today. Cooperative 3D brawler. There are two main characters. I believe the one is pronounced Psy, and the other is Chrome. It's really meant to be played as a local co-op game, but you can play it solo. I did, and I kind of regret it. I regret playing it solo. But the AI can hang in there and will at least attack the enemies. Basically, it's tower defense, but with a little bit of, like I said, the brawler aspect, but also a little twin stick shooting, because the one character, Psy, he's more of the brawler where he has, like, I swear they look like Halo energy swords on his hands. I don't know what they're really supposed to be. They just look like Halo energy swords. The other, Chrome, is, he actually has a pistol, and so that is the character that I preferred to play with, because you could play it more like a twin stick shooter if you were in control of him. Both characters have 14 power-ups, so 7 each. And there are, the devs promote that there are 200 upgrades available for the power-ups. That's kind of a stretch. mainly because you just you upgrade the power-ups by just putting a skill point on them. And for Sai, his power-ups, which include kind of like energy blast, ice blast, that he will shoot in like an orb that he will shoot at the enemies. Mm-hmm. And basically each power-up point or upgrade point is like, oh, it makes it a little bit stronger, or it makes it, gives it like a little larger blast radius. And it's the same for Chrome, who has turrets instead of like an ice blast or whatever. He has like ice turrets, health turrets, or just regular bullets or whatever. His are kind of where they pad the upgrade story a little, because he's got like, oh, each turret can have, I think it's something like 20 extra health points and 20 extra damage points and 20 extra range. And so you look at his upgrade screen and it just seems insane. And it's only like a fraction of a percent that it actually makes any kind of difference. So I did say that there is a tower defense aspect. There are 27 levels. Each level has reactors, and there are three different settings for the 27 levels, by the way. And each level has a reactor or two or three. There's a couple, like the higher the difficulty of the level, the more reactors there are. And the main gameplay goal is hack a reactor. Waves of enemies will come for it. Stave off the enemies, hack another reactor, do it again. Again, pretty repetitive. It is pretty much what you expect for a tower defense with a little bit of brawler and twin stick added to it. There aren't any bosses. There isn't anything that ever really changes. The levels do have star ratings for them, though. And the first three are basically for, you know, getting all the reactors in a certain time or what have you. The three extra stars are for completing certain objectives in the level. So it'll be like, you know, complete the level without using a certain type of turret or what have you. So it does increase replay to have you go back and trying to get all the different stars. But it is the same gameplay. Like the paths of the enemies are mapped out. They don't ever shift. They don't come from anywhere different. It's just, they spawn here, protect that. In the earlier levels, for like the whole first segment, the first 9 levels of the game, basically I just set up a turret and let the AI do everything, and I didn't even have to move. And I was just like, oh, okay. So not only is it repetitive, but it can be a little slow because you feel like there's not even a reason for you to be there. The later levels do get harder, and that is where playing co-op comes in more, because the AI just goes dumb when you get to the higher levels, and he just wants to sit there and do. Like, I had to actively save the AI in the end levels, where in the beginning it was just murdering everything, and I have no idea what happened because it had all the upgrades.
Nice.
But it's quirky because it is kind of slow, and it's not as adrenaline and action-packed as you would think it's going to be, because everything is like got this bright 80s kind of punk feel to it. Mm-hmm. And you're just expecting to go in and there'd be lasers and stuff blasting everywhere, and it's just, okay, well, there's some robotic ants coming after me. It's not, if I had to say anything, I'd say it's probably more suited to somebody who's not used to that kind of tower defense game and wants to get into it. It's more like an entry level tower defense, maybe to play with kids.
I hear you. So
rather than saying it's like full scale hardcore.
Sorry. Yeah. So $20 on this one. What do you think?
The price is kind of high for what it is. I kind of give it a hesitant try it. I don't want to, it's not awful. It plays fine. And there's not really anything other than just, it just feels a little lackluster, incredibly repetitive. And just, I don't know. It just doesn't lack, or it just doesn't have the kind of pull that most other games in this genre have. That make you go, oh yeah, I'm really, I need it. It just, I don't know. The adrenaline and excitement wasn't there for it.
I hear you.
And I feel bad because, you know, like I want to go, oh, this is so cool. It's just, it's okay.
Well, games are okay if they're okay. Not everything has to be an absolute winner. But we are going to switch over to our pre-recorded reviews because I don't know how to do a segue, so take it away, I guess. All right, next game to talk about is called Azure Reflections, developed by Souvenir Circle, published by Sony's Unties label. Released May 15th on the PS4 for $24.99. Enemies come at you from all directions with relentless hails of bullets. Fight back with a well-timed Danmaku rush to tear your way through the bullets and enemies alike. Can you unlock all of the trophies? Checking this one out. Tim Ekibis, how are you doing?
Fine. Can you unlock all the trophies?
Can you? Did you?
Find
out now.
I have platinumed like zero games. Actually, I think The Walking Dead is the only thing I platinum just because you can't avoid it.
A platinum like two or three Lego games?
Yeah, that seems about right. Well, it's like anytime there's a game where I'm like, I'm going to do this. It's just like, well, that is a lot of work. There's always like something that I look at and I'm like, no, thank you. I just, you know, even games that I really, really love, I'm just like, I just, you know, when I was, I always say this, like, if achievements existed when, you know, in the 90s on a game, like, I would be freaking getting 1,000 gamer score, dropping platinums on, like, every game that I own, because it's like, you know, you'd only get a game once every few months. It's not now when, oh, what's Humble Bundle giving away today?
Yeah.
Where there's a dearth of games, or I'd just be playing Fortnite. Like, let's be real. But anyways,
Azure Reflections.
Okay.
How do you say it? Azure or Azure?
Don't make me think about it.
Okay.
Now I can't say it.
Azure.
Blue Reflections.
Blue Reflections.
Anyways, yeah. this is a Toho game, not like Toho, like Godzilla, but T-O-U-H-O-U, which I only know of from the joking orgy posts on Craigslist ahead of conventions. I'm telling you, this exists. Google, no, don't Google that. do not. This game, there is a series that it belongs to that I am not personally familiar with. It is an anime-ass fucking shooter with magical girls and a story that is goddamn nonsense, at least to this guy. Something about like some kind of crimson rain and or a mist or a fog or something like that, and it must be something in this castle, so we're gonna go investigate. So it's basically Castlevania with anime girls, basically, and shooting. You got some neat mechanics here going on in this shooter. You can shoot in both directions at the touch of a button. Enemies will sometimes come from both sides. The whole both directions thing, I don't really think it's utilized that heavily. The Danmaku rush, Dontaku rush, is like a, Well, it's like this is the thing you see in bullet hell games that acts as your shield, where you know, used wisely will absorb a bunch of bullets in the hail of bullets coming at you, and then so you like absorb them, then you charge forward, which will destroy things, which will make you stronger depending on how much shit you've absorbed. There's spell cards which act as a board clear, and I think something else is going on with them. And there's like just a bullet clear thing where you can just mash that touchpad thing and it whiffs all the bullets away at the expense of your P, whatever that is, your power,
Okay. I was thinking, all right, yeah.
Yeah, no, not that. They're like little red power-ups, not yellow ones. So, yeah. Man. This game. So, the way the game breaks down is you have these kind of pretty shortish, blandish levels where they throw like a few waves of, you know, little bitch enemies at you. Filler enemies with like some like slightly stronger ones. But it's really centered around these boss battles when you run into another anime girl and then you have a conversation and then you fight them. And there's kind of this back and forth where they'll have like different bullet patterns and then you injure them. And then you have to use the rush attack to break them. And then you sometimes will steal a spell card out of that from them if certain conditions are met, and then they'll use a spell card which has a different pattern, and there's just kind of this back and forth of like them changing patterns, you absorbing and crushing them, and then, you know, you beat them and you move on to the next level, and it kind of goes like that. And it has levels like 1 and then like 1.5 and then 2 and 2.5.
Why?
Weird. It seems like every half level you're going into like this void space. I don't know. Whatever. So you are supposed to, oh God, man, I don't even know where to begin. So I don't really know how it's tough to figure out how exactly you progress in this game. So one of the things I thought was very amusing is normal difficulty is described as like people who are good at shooters or like video games in general, and easy, you know, usually an easy, when a game is marked as easy, the description is like, for a more casual playthrough, if you just want to enjoy the story. And this, it says, for those that are bad at shooters. If you suck, pull up here. But even then, so like, there's something, it's really weird how you progress in this game, because they're like, okay, you progress through the story, you finish the story, you'll unlock more characters, because there's like 3 main characters, and then, you know, you can play as that character and unlock, you know, another character. But I kept getting like, partway through the story, and then it would be like, okay, well, you don't, something about your spell cards, you don't have enough spell cards to continue, so you're done, we're cutting you off here. And I'm like, what, why? I'm on easy, because it was really hard on normal. I'm bad at shooters, sorry. I just outed myself. But yeah, you know, just to see what the I don't feel like I am bad at shooters. I'm a little offended. But so it's like, yeah, and it's just, it kind of, it gets up its own ass a little bit, and like, well, I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? Cause I'm breaking these girls and taking their spell cards, and it seems like I'm doing the right stuff, but then it's like, no. And it's like, well, if you just want to do this, then play on easy. But then if you want to do this, go into the tutorial and learn more about spell cards. And I'm like, man, I'm just like, what is going on here? This is not terribly, like, it was definitely confusing and off-putting. Maybe you're into that, but the thing is, like, the actual shooting, like I mentioned, they don't use the two side thing very much, and the levels are end up kind of being short and not very memorable. It's really focused around those boss battles. But something that was driving me nuts is just that, like, the power-ups, like the good stuff, the stuff you want to pick up, it doesn't really stand out from the curtains of bullets, because they end up being these tiny little like dot, not, I mean, I'm exaggerating maybe a little bit here, but they end up being very small, and like these big plumes of like power-ups you need to pick up just kind of blend in with all the other bullets on the screen. Like, usually when I'm playing a bullet hell game, like the power-ups stand out in some way. Like, they're very big and shiny. They're a different color from the bullet curtains. It's easy to go, okay, that's bad. Like, color design in the bullets is very important. But there's like literally parts where the bullets will be the same color as the power-ups, where they're shooting out curtains of bullets that are rainbow colored, just every damn color. And then there's like one where she'd shoot out like all these bullets, and then they would kind of turn gray and like just move around the background. It took me a while to figure out, like, wait, are those gonna hit me? Are those bad, or are those, did they just fade into the background for effect? And I'm like, oh, wait, no, I do have to avoid those. Like for me, like, that kind of communication and visual design and visual distinction is very important in my my shooter games. And it made it really frustrating to try to progress here. I don't even know what I'm looking for with my hands right now. I've just lost all control. It's got this microphone. So yeah, it end up being like, the stages weren't that interesting. Like, the boss fights are okay. They're decent. but like not anything spectacular. But then it's just like there's weird rules with how to progress. Like,
do you think it's like the old school NES games where you only beat half of the game if you play on easy difficulties?
That's what I thought. It definitely said something like, well, you're not going to see all the content if you play on easy, but it's like you can still unlock characters and like progress. You, like, there was something that was keeping me from progressing that wasn't just playing on easy. I ran into this a few times at different points where it's like, I felt like I was getting close to the game and it was just like, yeah, wait. And it just cuts to the screen and I'm like, but it's not really explaining exactly what I did wrong. And I'm just like, huh. Okay. Mm. But besides that, like the shooting itself isn't like a terrible amount of fun just because of, like I said, like not really being able to let my brain disappear into the game and react to the bullet cards because it was just like hard for me to interpret. Like, I mean, long story short, it's like, you know, people that are into this series, I think they've probably already ignored me and already they were just like, shit, give me this. But if like, you know, you were looking for something to get into, I'm just like, I don't think so. I don't think that this is the shooter that you're looking for.
So your overall verdict for $24.99 on this one.
You will want to, what do we say? Refuse it?
Deny it.
Deny it. Yes. Deny it. That's the word I was looking for. But yeah, especially for that, that's like too much of a limb to go out on, I think, for if you're iffy about this kind of thing. But if you're, you know, I'm sure like, yeah, if your people are in the series, you've already bought it and more power to you if you enjoy these characters. But for me, and as far as, you know, bullet hell anime style shooters go, I'm like, I've played better ones for this show in the course of the past, like a couple
we've
years,
covered so, some yeah. good ones on here. We've definitely yeah. covered some good ones on here.
Yep. Yeah.
But you got one other game to talk about, and that is called Millenoir, developed by Italo Games, published by Good Shepherd Entertainment, released May 31st on Xbox, Switch, PS4, and PC for $12.99. Inspired by the Italian crime flicks of the 70s, revered by Quentin Tarantino, Millenoir is a pixel-packed action game set in the violent city of Milan. Come meet Piero, a convict suddenly released from prison looking for revenge over the man who framed him. Tim, what is going on in this game?
Oh my god, what a dick. Framed him? I don't know. Okay, so yeah, this game is got some really nice graphical style to it. It's a pixel art style. It's really well detailed. Like the characters look good. Like the environments look really good. Lots of like, there's not like a lot of cut and paste, I feel, in the environments. Like there's a lot of good detail and variance in there. I guess I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, the character's legs do look a little bit weird when they're walking. Yeah, that fucking main character, that dude is a shit bag. I wrote it down twice that he is a shit bag. Main character is a fucking asshole. Like, this is a problem I run into with the GTA games as well, and that they're, you know, these gritty crime stories, but you're playing like garbage human beings. Like, you know, GTA 4, a lot of people love it. They're like, oh, it's the story of redemption for this poor immigrant that came from, you know, trying to find a new life. I'm like, dude, Niko Bellic is a dickhead. He does not try at all to get away from that life. He is murdering fuckers like willy-nilly, like right after he gets off the boat. He is not a good guy. And this guy is not a good guy. He is such a dick. And it's like, you know, at the beginning, I'm like, okay, you know, hitman for hire, like, all right. And like, I don't know, like, I'm like trying to think now that this framing thing and like when he was repentant for killing this dude's family, including his kid, which is super shitty. Oh, and he's just like, whatever, it's fine. I'm in prison. It's fine. And then just gets out and just like is just an angry dick about it. And like looking for the, you know, whoever blew him into the police. It's like, well, I hope somebody blew you into police, dickhead. Like, you are a bag of shit. I just have such a hard time like getting behind these characters. And these, you know, they're just not really redeemable. It's like, you know, your drug dealer shitbag in Garage that I reviewed a couple weeks ago. But
yeah, but it's amazing to hear you go off on him.
Yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about like the past few days, and like something that, you know, it goes back long term frustration with like arguing with people about the GTA games and how much they love them. And I'm just like, the only one that is good is GTA 5. And that's because it plays well. And the heists are super fun. But other than that, like, you know, before they played terribly and your characters were dickheads and like being a criminal, I'm just not there for that. Anyways,
so dickbag aside, how's the gameplay?
The actual gameplay. Oh man. So I don't know why they did this thing. So you, it takes place from a top down perspective and it's cool because like you can take cover, you can dodge. And it is almost kind of like a twin stick shooter-ish thing, but not really, because the thing is you are controlling your character with the left stick, and then there's a motherfucking reticle that you're controlling with the right stick, and that sucks. It sucks so bad. I don't know why they didn't just have the reticle be like a fixed distance from your character, so it's like, okay, when I'm pointing, you know, my stick in this direction, I shoot in this direction. But they have the reticle, they want you to, and it can go anywhere on the screen, so it ends up being really difficult to like, unnecessarily difficult, I feel like.
Oh man, when you first said you control it with the right stick, I'm like, oh, so it's like a twin stick shooter, not realizing that it can go anywhere.
Yeah, it can go anywhere. So it makes it way more difficult than, and like I've seen a few games that have done this before, and it's just like, it's such an aggravating mechanic, and it's needless, because it's like, if you're shooting at a guy and the reticle is either, you know, like say past him or in front of him, it's not like your bullet falls short or goes too far. It goes in that line and it will hit them. Mm-hmm. So the only thing the reticle seems to play into is there's like street signs around the city. And if you shoot a street sign, the bullet will ricochet off of the sign and maybe like around a piece of cover or something like that, which is cool. Like in triangular signs, for some reason, split your bullet in two to hit two different characters. I'm like, whatever, triangles, they're powerful.
Clearly, that's what yield signs were made for.
Yeah, you know, it's the Illuminati. Back of your dollar bill. Look at it. Hold it up to a black light. Don't do that.
You'll see all the stripper fluids on there.
You'll know the truth. You might see stripper fluids. So it's just like, you know, it was like, at first I'm like, this is cool, it's fine. But even with like fiddling with, they have like sensitivity settings for the aiming, and they have a generous, they have auto assist settings. Like even with the auto assist on maximum, like my reticle would be near a character, because eventually I set up to maximum, because I'm just like, I just want to play this game. Like this, it seems like fun. Like it's, I'm interested to see how they try to make me care about this shitbag. But it just became so tough to aim. And like, even when I felt like I was floating my reticle near an enemy, like it was hit or miss as to whether it would actually like lock onto them or not. And especially with like boss battles where there's like, you know, big stuff going on the screen. It's like, you know, I'm trying to like look at my character to dodge, and I think I know where my reticle is, but not always. So it's a tough thing to like split your brain to try to concentrate on, like, where is my character, where is the reticle, trying to line up the shot, trying not to get shot yourself, because you can only take so many shots. You're not that durable. You do recover health, but you're not like too sturdy. Even when you're ducking behind cover, sometimes, you know, enemies will have an angle on you, so you got to be aware of that. And it just feels like it would have been so much easier, like, just have the reticle like near your character. It fixed, you know, fixed distance. So it's like, okay, I'm aiming in this general direction, and then I can figure it out from there. But a lot of times, like, it would just be, I'd be trying to control my character, and the reticle would be like off the side of the screen somewhere, cause I was pushing it up, and then it went kind of down and around the corner, and then it's off to the right. The boss battles drag a bit. I feel like they have too much health, in general. There's other weapons, but they're very limited. Like, you'll find a Molotov, and that's a one-use thing. You'll find a revolver, and you use the bullets that are inside of it.
No reloads?
You can't reload the revolver. You do have to reload your pistol, and it won't auto-reload if you hit the bottom of the clip. You always have to manually reload, which is borderline nitpicky, but still just like, I felt like I'm unloading my clip. Okay, I'm reloading again. Just da-da-da-da-da, whatever, fine. What do I know? But it just ended up, like, the aiming thing just ended up being just so frustrating. Like, on the third level, and this is like where things really started killing me, is like, you're going up this like canal, and there's enemies you need to shoot on both sides of it, like, often. So you'll be like on the bottom side, and you'll have to shoot up to the top I mean, you know, it's not like a vertical canal. You know what I mean? It's showing a rim perspective. It's like north and south, whatever. So it's like, okay, I need to shoot this guy up here. I need to look out for that guy down there. This guy has a shotgun. I'm trying to avoid him. He'll shoot me real quick. And it's like this lengthy thing. And then you get to the end of it and then you die. It's like, oh crap. It only checkpoints when you change screens. It's just like, fuck it.
Oh, man.
Again. I mean, that's not so bad. But it wouldn't be so bad if it just like felt better to control and shoot. That's the thing. That's really where that's the main thrust of the game. And it doesn't feel good to do that. Like it's, has a lot of good style. It has, you know, good, like you, the way you duck, the way you kind of vault over things, you can kind of roll. Like I don't think the limited weapon things is a problem. It's just like, man, it just like aiming and shooting just becomes such a problem. It really drags down the whole experience. It's a bummer.
It sounds like if they were to rework the shooting mechanics to have a stationary reticle that just spun around you, it would be a million times better.
Feels like I think that would help a lot. That is one critic's opinion. This so guy,
as it stands for $13, what are your thoughts?
My thought is to deny it again. I know it's rough this episode.
Wow.
But it's like, well, it's like another thing I'm thinking about as I'm playing, like, you know, other like there's so many good games coming out and I'm just like, man, why you know, do this to yourself when there's so much other good stuff you could be playing, you know?
True.
So much good stuff. But yeah, that I mean, that aiming is not fun. But if they, you know, who knows? Games are living, breathing organisms these days.
Yeah, if they get updated, we'll have to update on the show as well.
Yeah, they fixed Slane. They fixed Slane, and I had apprehensions about that. So, you know,
oh, man.
It can happen. See what happens.
Well, Tim, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Do you have any final thoughts to wrap it up?
Yes, I do. Because speaking of other good games that are out, we reviewed Wizard of Legend on this show, the Xbox version, right?
That's yes, the code we did a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, I used my American monies to buy the Switch version, and that version is good. That game is great. It is super addictive. Like, I had a lot of trouble putting it down over the weekend. It's just, like, super fun. So, you know, go listen to that review for, you know, the full details. But I also just wanted to affirm that the Switch version is also great, and I also think it is great.
All right, next game to talk about is called Lost Seed, developed by East Asia Soft and Rattlenecka Games, published by East Asia Soft, released May 31st on the Switch for $9.99. After a freak storm over the Atlantic, you find yourself trapped on the shores of a mysterious island. Do you have what it takes to escape the Lost Sea? Answering that question, Chris Sarani, how are you doing?
I'm doing not too bad now that I've got some audio sort of working.
Yay, that's how every episode is for me. I almost have things working.
I almost always have things working and then never do. But, you know, here we are. So, Joe, games. Games indeed. Are fun.
Tell
games
me, what is Lost Sea?
So Lost Sea is a kind of interesting procedurally generated game that takes place on mysterious islands, in which case you need to get through everything to get off of the, what's the word? Archipelago? I can't remember.
Archipelago? Something like that?
Archie Dreamcast? What? No, basically, it's kind of like a Bermuda Triangle sort of thing. You are stuck in this place, and you need to get through all these different islands to get out. And you're recruiting crew members to help you out and like making your ship better to, you know, get to places easier and better and find more stuff. So it's kind of an interesting little game. For me, kind of being the beyond casual gamer, I guess, where have many games, play them little. It's kind of nice to pick up a game like this and give it a try to see how it pulls me in. And it actually kind of worked out pretty good from the get-go. humorously enough, the very first thing I did in the game wasn't actually playing. It was sitting at the title screen, listening to the music, and moving the cursor up and down made this like big percussive doo. So I'm sitting there doing percussive menu things to the music. And I did that for probably like 5 minutes.
I wouldn't expect anything less of you, Chris.
Well, I can't help it. You know, music's a good, great thing about games. So if a little thing like that is a good start, that's a good sign.
Very true. So what did you think of the game?
So overall, I mean, like I said, it takes a bit to, like, for a game to kind of suck me in, but it was an easy thing to pick up. And, you know, even though there were a few minor confusing things to start off with, I was able to just, okay, start running around, start breaking some things open. Ooh, coins. Oh, hey, an enemy. Slash it. Ooh, experience stuff. And, you know, you just, you walk around, you've got a basic map. It shows you kind of the different generated chunks that you're going through. And it's easy to at least get through in that regard. And at first I thought some of the difficulty was simple. You know, like, hey, enemies are all right. But, you know, as obviously you progress through, you get to some of these different islands, the difficulty actually fluctuates. It can be heavy. It could be medium. It could be easy. So you're challenged a bit more depending on what you get. So, oh, suddenly there's a bunch of different enemies here I wasn't expecting, and they have some interesting moves. So, oh, a nice new little challenge to it.
Nice.
Like I was saying with the music, the music's actually pretty fitting to the game. It's actually kind of like some real nice, pretty stuff, very islandy. I can't think of the best ways to describe it because my brain is a little fizzle. But yeah, but again, but in general,
welcome to every episode for me.
But yeah, like overall, the music is fitting. It's pleasant. It's not distracting, which is good overall. I do definitely want to continue playing the game more to hear more of the music. That
you're just all about the music, huh?
Am I Dale North?
You might be.
Graphic wise, I didn't really notice any slowdown on the Switch. It was pretty smooth overall. Once in a great while, you know, a little bit of frame rate drop, but you know, nothing to really complain about.
Yeah.
Overall, the graphics are actually, you know, very nice and pretty. I guess you'd almost call it cel shaded in a way. Yeah, there's that brain fizzle again. You know, great colors. The animations are good. You know, a couple little nitpicky things here and there in the game.
Like what? What kind of nitpicks did you have?
Oh, there's an audio one. Well, yeah, of course there's audio ones. That's me. So like the character I chose, I can't remember which male character it was, but like his attack sound, it's basically just a repetitive, huh. I'm like, maybe a little variation would have been nice. Like a, But, you know,
are you auditioning your voice services to East Asia Soft right now?
I mean, I wouldn't say no. No, but you know, it's little technical things like that I'll pick up on, but it's, you know, it's not a deal breaker for the game. It's just, you know, little minor things that could actually help it excel a little further. Gosh, what else? I don't know, Joe, what else do you want to know about this wonderful game?
I don't know. I guess the only question I have left is for $9.99, what is your verdict on Lost Sea?
Overall, I think maybe as from my level of playability with games, if it was a few dollars cheaper, I would jump on, or I'd be more apt to jump on it. I'm definitely going to play it more to get a better overall feel for that kind of price tier it's at. I think probably a lot of gamers would be okay at that price, but some may want a little more out of it, if that makes sense.
But what's there is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, this is a game that is good to just pick up and go. If you need to pass some time, you could pick up from wherever you are in it and not really forget what's going on. So it's a good time killer game.
It really is.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Chris, it is always good having you on the show, and you need to come on more frequently. It's been way too long.
Well, I need to come on more often when my stuff works.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, don't ask how I have it hooked up, but it's working.
So do you have any final thoughts to wrap it up?
I guess final thoughts is I'm continually excited to see what further things come up on Switch. I think it's a great platform for developers to use, just with the power it has for what it is and its great portability. So yeah, developers, keep doing stuff for Switch. It is good stuff.
All right, next game to talk about is called The Banner Saga, developed by Stoic, published by Versus Evil, released May 17th on the Switch for $19.99. Live through an epic role-playing Viking saga where your strategic choices directly affect your personal journey. Make allies as you travel with your caravan across the stunning yet harsh landscape. Carefully choose those who will help fight a new threat that jeopardizes an entire civilization. Not everyone will survive, but they will be remembered. Checking this one out. Len Stewart, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe.
Doing good? How's the game?
Yeah. Game's great, man. I feel like I got PTSD from playing it because it was just so hardcore. So basically, for people who don't know what the game is, it's a strategy RPG, kind of takes place in a Vikings, inspired fantasy world. I like to think of it as Game of Thrones mixed with, Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So the developers, I feel like they wanted to make a game for more mature players, which is totally up my alley. I really love that. So you basically start out what it seems like a perpetual twilight. So it's like the sun is always shining all the time, and no one knows why. And then there's two races. There's the humans and these big giants called Vows. And some of them have come together and work as a team to fight these dredge, which are basically like the White Walkers from Game of Thrones. They're like an undead, nebulous army that travels around and kills people. So you go along and you travel along a path to get to different villages or, worrying about the dredge and mourning people. And you have to make decisions on your way, and you can make decisions where it can kill your main character, which I thought was pretty daunting the first time. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to just choose this option. And it kills my main guy. And I'm like, oh fuck. yeah. So, I really liked how it kind of played like an old school interactive novel, where you could really choose it's like a choose your own adventure type of style thing. Kind of like, Regalia, the one that I reviewed a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
Where you could actually make a choice and feel that it it's with your journey,
Yeah.
So there's a really cool play element too of it, rather than just walking along and making choices. The battles are very reminiscent of Final Fantasy Tactics or Tactics Ogre.
Good games.
Where you play on an isometric. Yeah, I love those games, man. You play on an isometric grid. One thing I really thought that was really different was that they pieced out the hit points for your enemies and your player characters, where you'll have a gauge for your armor and a gauge for your actual life points. And while you could go and keep hacking away at a person's life points, you could really just go after their armor first and knock their armor down to zero, and then just one hit the guy's life points.
Nice.
I thought that was kind of a neat little challenge, and it just really added a lot to the overall gameplay.
So I gotta know, how is the performance on the Switch?
The performance on the Switch. Okay, so I really like the, I feel like the music was a little bit better than the PC versions or any other versions of the game. I also really like that I could either have the, because it is the Switch, I could either play it on the handheld or play it on my television. The only thing was that in handheld, I felt like the descriptions of a lot of the items and a lot of the skills were really small, and they were really tough to read. So that was kind of a weird thing. Also, it had high loading times for me, and I don't really have a newer Switch. I have a second generation Switch, so I was thinking, oh man, this should be blowing through these parts, but yeah, I just felt like the loading times were just a little too much. How were they on the other devices? Do you know?
I don't remember them being too bad on other devices, but it has been a while since I played. I don't remember loading ever being a big issue with the game, so it might be something with the Switch port where it just needs a little bit more optimization or something.
Mm, yeah. That's pretty much all I could really say about like the Switch versus the other versions. I did notice that some of the touchscreen things were not all that great. Like you could do touchscreens for certain things and not others, where you would think that you know, for example, targeting your armor versus like the hit points thing. That was cool. You could do that in touchscreen. But, like, you know, as far as, like, giving commands, I felt like the touch commands were off, whereas in the iPhone, iOS version, you could add, everything's touchscreen, so it just felt more intuitive, and I felt like if they would have just ported that to the Switch, probably would have been a little bit better in the, as far as the touch controls are concerned, you know?
Yeah. But overall, it seems like you really enjoyed the game.
Yeah, I did. One other thing I really liked was the sound in this game. I thought the sound was excellent. Not just like, you know, the music, because the music is just, it's okay, you know. But it's more like how the music and stops and starts at different places and how the sound effects, like when you're talking to, when you have dialogue between a few characters. You just hear, like, you don't hear music in the background most of the time. You hear, like, rustling in the back or, you know, the rest of the camp, like, chatting away or whatever. It felt, like, very natural, you know?
Yeah.
So I really like the sound design. You know, it kind of took a different path rather than giving you, you know, the drum beats of war while you're, you know, just playing, while you're just talking to people.
Yeah. Well, overall, 20 bucks on this one. What do you think of it?
I think it's totally worth it. Although I do want to say that you'll only play it for like 10 to 11 hours. So I don't know. I mean, some people might feel a little ripped off. I personally don't feel like it's that much of a rip off. But it's totally worth it, at least to me. But I know that there's people out there who'd be like, oh man, I'm paying $20 for 10 hours. Give me a break.
Well, it's better than like Call of Duty, where you're paying. Yeah, it's better than Call of Duty, where you're paying $60 for like 5 hours.
Yeah, right. Or you know, any EA game that you know wants to give you the DLC treatment and you know totally rack you over the coals.
Indeed. Oh man. Well, Len, it's always good having you on chatting about this stuff. I know we're gonna have you back on again soon talking about the sequel. Do you have any final thoughts to wrap it up until then?
No, not really. I just think that people should get this game, and I can't actually wait to play this one.
All right, and we're back with us. Hooray!
Yay! Oh, wait, I'm still here. Yay!
Next game to talk about is called Golem, developed and published by Longbow Games, released May 29th on Steam for $14.99. A heartwarming adventure about a young girl and a shape-shifting golem who must navigate the ruins of an ancient tower to solve its challenging puzzles and reactivate its long dormant machines. Dark Mika covered this one, and let's see what she's got to say. Golem is a puzzle. Yeah, I start off really well. Clear my throat, and it's just stumble immediately. Golem is a puzzle game where you control a young woman and a golem she found in the desert wastes. That's the entire story. I'm not exactly sure what she was doing in the waste, why she was in the decrepit building that she found the golem core in, or any of that. Maybe it's explained at the end of the game, I don't know. There are 10 levels in the game. Game will take you around 5 hours if you're good, and upwards of maybe 10 hours if you're dog shit. The golem is required to open doors and even activate certain things, so you have to keep it around you fairly often. However, this isn't a fetch mission or escort mission turned into a full game, thank fuck for that. As you play through the levels, you find pools of, I guess, magic water that evolves the golem to new forms. At first, it starts as a core that you have to manually cart around because it's just a fucking ball, but then it evolves. Each evolution, it gains a new look, and its ability is replaced by a new one. For instance, the ball can do a grand total of absolutely fucking nothing. Its first upgrade is to a weird legged ball. This upgrade can follow you around, so yay, never cart this thing around again. Fuck yeah. It can be told to stay or told to come to you. If it can't follow you the way you go, it'll find another way to you. The next upgrade, I think, was to a dog-like form. The follow command gets replaced by a go command. You could tell it to go here and there, but it won't follow you anymore. There's more evolutions. Each one replaces the ability with a new one. These abilities aren't optional, and they're always along the way. You evolve it just by playing the game because there's a magic water level in every level, and you need to evolve the golem to finish the level. The puzzles are all environmental puzzles, and some of them get pretty hard. The whole game is played as a 2D puzzle. You can only go along the four planes, forward, backward, up, and down. Going through doorways changes the map around to show you a new part of the level. This is where the puzzles can get difficult, because at times you'll need to send the golem around one way and yourself around another to meet with it. This allows it to do things to clear a path for you so you can move into other areas. Then you need to find a way to get it to you, and it gets fucking hard sometimes. I sat on level 4 for some time, had to restart a few times because it wasn't clicking how to do it. That one was the hardest for me so far, but it's so fun. The game is fucking gorgeous. Even the dilapidated structure you're in is pretty. Each level changes the environment some. You're still in the building in the desert, so it's not going to change completely, but it changes a great deal. Some levels were completely inside, some were partially outside, some were in boiler rooms, another in a clock-like tower. It all has its own look, and they fit together as it's all part of the same building. I was pulled to this game because of its art style and the puzzle style. It reminds me of Ico, Odyssey to the West, The Last Guardian, etc. There's a certain feel those games have because of the two creature dynamic. Every game that has that intrigues me, and for the art for this, again, is gorgeous. So $15 on Steam, I'm totally for it. If the above games were fun or interesting to you, then this should be a must-buy for you. If you hate environmental puzzles, well, I can't sell this because I'm not Billy Mays.
Nobody's Billy Mays anymore.
Billy Mays here, talking about OxyClean. Oh man, next game is called Heartbreak High, a breakup simulator developed by Alex Robbins and Goodbit, published by Goodbit, released May 21st on Steam for $4.99. Imagine you're the most popular kid in school, so popular in fact that you're dating every single person in your class. The only problem? You've decided to break up with all of them one by one. An arcade-style spin on dating sims that asks you to break up with all of your high school sweethearts. Dark Mika covered this one as well, and Cole, you're going to read this one.
Oh, boy. Heartbreak High is a reverse dating sim-like game, I guess. Instead of trying to fuck, you're trying to fuck off. You're the high school heartthrob. You're like the community bike. You're with everyone in school, save for the fact that there's only a handful of students who go to your school, so there's that. Takes place here. You're tasked to break up with everyone in 40 minutes.
Wow.
The game focuses a lot on conversation trees, but even mini games of various types to be played in order to dump people. It's pretty unique. Everything is hand-drawn. This includes handwriting, which I don't think I've seen before. The game isn't classically pretty. It's hand-drawn, and, well, the dev isn't an artist. At least, not that kind, anyways. As stated, you have a 40-minute hard limit for each run of the game, and you can do it in that time fairly easily. My blind ass did it, and speed reading isn't my strong suit. However, the game is hard. I've ran through it numerous times, and I still have yet to dump everyone. Almost everyone has a single chance for you to dump them. If you fail, then you stay with them and, well, sucks to be you. I've put hours into this, and it's just hard to break up with everyone because choices don't always make a ton of sense. Some things are straight up counterintuitive. For instance, in one minigame, one of my dates stated if I won, they'd let me dump them, but you have to fail miserably, like score 0 points for them to break up with you. Thankfully, most of the game is a bit more straightforward. What's really fun is you're not just dumping the people you bump uglies with. You also get to break up with the janitor and the principal, and it's fantastic. You do have meters that you have to pay very minor attention to. If they get too high, you fail the game, and I had two of them get close to too high a couple times. I've never managed to get it to go to a fail state, so I'm not actually sure if there's a real fail state with them, but the game says so. I don't know. For a fiver, yeah, this is a fuck it, why not game. It has an interesting premise that I've not seen before, and it is kind of funny sometimes. You got a fiver, just don't go out to lunch one day, or sacrifice, le gasp, a fucking coffee one morning.
Sounds good. Yeah, it looks pretty cool, so I might check that one out sometime. I love when games do something different.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, we've got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Super Sports Machin, developed by Kaj Farrell Video Game Brand, published by Dangan Entertainment, released May 24th on Switch and Steam for $14.99. Super Sports Machin is a fun and fantastical retro party sports game for up to four players. Enjoy a fine selection of sport disciples ranging from the frantic and fast-paced to the relaxed and playful. Invite your friends, foes, and family to a game of fun competitive sports. We had our friend Alan Bish, a new writer for us, write in a review for this one, and this is what he's got to say. He says, Super Sports Machin, developed by Kaj Farrell Video Game Brand and released on Switch and Steam by Dangan Entertainment, is a competitive multiplayer game that harkens back to the days of titles like Activision's Decathlon, Epic's Winter Games, and Konami's Track and Field. The twist, unlike those games, is that 9 out of the 10 games are fantastical and strange. While the 100-yard dash is basic, other events like ball toss, throwing a ball against a wall with golf-like controls, cappy throw, the hammer throw except players are throwing a capybara wearing a parachute, animal feed, an archery event where you throw food at hungry animals for points, and more. My personal favorite was the pillow push, a pillow fight meets sumo wrestling game where you use strikes, counters, and taunts to catch your opponent off guard. SNES-style graphics and bright chip music set a happy mood, but the competition can get fierce. Although you can practice single events in an endless mode and go for the world record both on and offline, there's not much meat to this game with a single player. Computer AI can be downright cruel. I never scored a single basket playing the AI in the basketball-like hoops. And there's no AI difficulty options, although you can turn them off altogether. The game begs to be played with two more players, and it's where you'll find the most fun here. If your gaming night crew is getting tired of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or Pokken Tournament DX, give a few rounds of Super Sports Machin a try. Just try not to cry during the award ceremony. That sounds ridiculous, and I am very, very interested in it. Throwing a capybara all hammer throw style just sounds incredibly interesting to me. Oh, man. But that is it for this episode. Thanks again to everyone at Fishing Cactus for dropping by and chatting with us and getting crazy, and everyone for doing the reviews as well. It's always good having people drop by and chat with us.
Indeed.
I don't know who all is on this episode, by the way. I'm recording this before I've decided who's on. So
editing.
Yahoo! But yeah, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to everyone in chat for hanging out with us as well. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
That's my no. I even left you the awkward pause for editing. We'll be right back.
I'm